Welcome to Red Leg Nation Radio, your home for discussion and analysis of Cincinnati Reds baseball all year long. Now here's your host, Chad Dotson.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Red Leg Nation Radio, the world's most dangerous podcast. This is episode number 345, a special playoff edition of the podcast. I'm your host, Chad Dotson. With me this week, the guru from RedsMinorLeagues.com, RedLegNation.com, Doug Gray. How are you today, Doug?
Chad, I'm not sure I've been this good in quite a while.
Well, let me ask you.
Did you just say this was the playoff edition, right?
I did say that. So I want to begin with a question for you, Doug, because you've been following the pennant race very closely. What are the Reds' playoff odds right now? What does the math say?
100%.
Wait a minute. 100%. Yes, the Cincinnati Reds are in the playoffs. And, you know, I think we should talk for just a moment about why everyone needs to be. They snuck in, kind of, you know. It took to the very end. But let's talk about why everyone needs to be really, really happy about that in Reds country. Am I wrong that we need to just be enjoying the heck out of this?
I mean, if you're not happy that your team made the playoffs, I don't know what to tell you. Like, why are you even watching any competitive event?
Yeah, really. Yeah, I know in a regular season, of course, we wouldn't have stopped at 60 games in a regular season, and there would have been plenty of time for the Reds to claw the way back in. But I know 7th place in the league is not going to get it done. Sure, that's the way it works. But you know what? I don't care. We have, for the last 7 years, watched garbage baseball most of the time. They've done nothing but break our hearts. They got our hopes up, and then they dash them very quickly every season. And, you know, we've always said, and I think you and I have had this conversation here on the podcast, Doug, that once you get in the playoffs, you really just got to make the tournament because it's kind of a crapshoot once you get there. And maybe more or less this year of a crapshoot. I don't know, but it's still a crapshoot. You just got to get in the tournament. And so the way I'm looking at it is we're on the precipice of October, and the Reds legitimately have a chance to win a World Series. What more could we ask for?
Nothing.
There we go. All right. I thought you'd come up with something we could ask for. We could have asked for a number one seed.
But I mean,
does it matter?
But, I mean, not really. No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I still
mean, think about it this way. You have to beat everybody to get where you want to be. So does it matter if you play them in the first round or the last round? Not really. Just win.
And the seeding, I'm not sure it means anything anyway, because it's just 60 games worth. I mean, do we know? Well, we know that the Dodgers probably are the best team in the league. We expected that coming in. After that, I don't know that we know a whole lot about who's good and who's not. Let's talk about the Atlanta Braves. The Reds did qualify for the playoffs, as you know. They are the number 7 overall seed, which means they play the number 2 seed, the champions of the National League's Eastern Division, the Atlanta Braves. Atlanta went 35-25 this year, 4 games ahead of second place Miami. And I want to talk about the specifics of this Braves team. But before we do that, I said 7 years since the Reds last played in the playoffs, and that's true. But it's been a full quarter of a century since the Reds actually won a playoff series. And in that streak of futility of not winning playoff series, who was the first team to defeat the Reds in this streak? You know where I'm going there, Bill? Bill, I called you Bill. I did that once before. We had to start the stupid podcast over. Doug.
I mean, Bill, I'm sorry that he's insulting you by referring to me as you. So
I'm not sure who that's an insult to more.
It's Chad's fault either way. But
exactly. But you know where I'm going with that, right?
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it, though. I was a young 11-year-old who was very sad.
Yeah, well, I was a little older than that. I was in college, and, you know, that 95 Reds team, I've always sort of thought that's the best Reds team in my lifetime. They were really good. And, you know, you had Barry Larkin at the height of his powers. And he won the MVP, but he may not have been the best player on that team because Reggie Sanders was amazing. Ron Gant, Pete Shurick almost won a Cy Young. I mean, Davey Johnson, the manager. And they got swept by the Braves in the National League Championship Series behind the Braves' crazy good starting pitching. Greg Maddux, John Smoltz, Tom Glavine. And of course,
never heard of them.
Exactly, right? Whatever happened to those guys?
Who knows?
So, anyway, the narrative I'm trying to spin here, Doug, is that it's completely flipped now. 25 years later, the Reds are going to break the curse by having their big three starters knocked down the, you know, the Reds had the best offense in the league in 95. The Braves have one of the top two offenses in the league right now. See, it's completely reversed. That means the Reds are going to win and end this stupid streak of not advancing in the playoffs. Are you buying it?
Yes, I'm all in. I believe your theory. It totally adds up. I'm in. Let's do it.
Exactly. Doug's picking up what I'm putting down. Yeah, none of that has any, you know, bearing on what's going to happen. And I don't want to talk about the specifics of this year's Atlanta Braves. But I don't know. I like the symmetry of the 25-year. Oh, gosh, has it been 25 years? Doug, you've watched a lot of bad baseball in your life.
I really have. Let's hope this is the year it changes.
We'll see. And we will talk about what we expect to happen. But let's talk about these Atlanta Braves. Now, I mentioned their offense. And they did, I think at the end of the year, the Dodgers ended up edging them out in terms of total runs scored and runs per game. But this Braves offense is really good, isn't it?
Yeah, they really are. I'm pretty sure the Dodgers scored one more run on the season than the Braves did. But, you know, we always talk about OPS being, you know, the big key number for offensive players. And, you know, Baseball Reference has OPS Plus, which it just adjusts your OPS for the league or for the ballparks that you play in, because, you know, some ballparks play a lot differently than others. Yeah, the Braves are at 116, which is, it's really good.
That's the same as Cincinnati's batting average as a team.
Just about, yes. I mean, if you just look up and down their lineup, they've got, what, 1, 2, 3, 4 regulars with OPS is over 900.
And really, three of those guys have been, and maybe even four, you could make the argument, have been, I would make the argument, four of those guys have been kind of otherworldly in some way. And you got to start with a guy who's a really good contender for the Most Valuable Player Award, I think, which is first baseman Freddie Freeman, you know, always an all-star. You know, he's always been a great player, but man, he's been another level even for him in this 60-game season, hasn't he?
He has, and I mean, realistically, I mean, you can make an argument he might only be the third best player on that team.
That's where I was going. That's crazy, but it's true.
I mean, Marcell Ozuna went into the last day of the season needing like 3 or 4 hits to win the Triple Crown. I mean, he led the league in home runs and RBIs, and he hit .338.
That's not bad. You remember when we were talking about Ozuna on this podcast, because we were kind of, you know, the Reds were in the mix to sign him, and he couldn't get what he wanted, so he signed a 1-year deal with Atlanta. Boy, that's worked out for him.
That worked out very well for Atlanta, I'm sure.
And probably for Ozuna as he goes back on the free agent market.
Well,
it depends.
That's a different topic for a different podcast, I'll just say that I don't believe anybody's going to spend any money until I see it.
Yeah. May have hurt his wallet. Anyway, we don't want to talk about that nonsense, because as Eugenio Suarez would say, Doug, huh? Good vibes only. Good vibes only. But I don't know. I'm starting to get depressed a little when I look at this Braves lineup. I mean, Freddie Freeman, .341 average, .462 on base, .640 slugging, 13 home runs. Marcell Ozuna, .338 average, .431 on base, .636 slugging, 18 home runs. And then Ronald Acuna Jr., 22 years old. Is there a player, if you were going to start a team, there's two players I have in my mind, but if you were going to start a team tomorrow, would Acuna be at the top of your list of guys you'd like to have?
I mean, he'd be near it. I might lean Fernando Tatis Jr.
Yeah,
but
that's the other guy.
I'm going to be pretty happy either way I wind up.
Yeah, really. Give me the number two pick. I'll be okay. Yeah, Acuna, 14 home runs. Golly, .406 on base, .581 slugging, OPS plus .155, which is the third best on the team. And I mentioned Ozuna is the leading home run hitter for the Braves. Who's number two in home runs for the Braves? I'll give you the opportunity to talk about our old friend.
Our old friend Adam Duvall, who hit, I think, 914 in the month of September.
He did. I think that's a precise count, yes. Adam Duvall, you know, I want Adam Duvall to lose 2 games here soon, but I have no trouble at all being happy for Adam Duvall's success, right?
I mean, he was almost out of the major leagues last year, right?
Literally.
I mean, he really was. And then, you know, he got his opportunity, and I mean, he did, you know what? I mean, for the most part, this is kind of who we expect him to be. Didn't hit for much average. He hit .237 this year. Didn't draw many walks, so he's .301 on base percentage. But man, when he hits the ball, he really hits the ball. He slugged .532 with 16 home runs in 57 games.
Yeah, I mean, it's a quintessential, Cincinnati Reds season for Adam Duvall. That's exactly what he did when he was at his best for the, you know, the couple of years that he was pretty good in Cincinnati. And he just hits the ball a long way, and he's not going to kill you with a glove. And it can be a useful player, frankly.
Yeah.
So, happy for Adam Duvall. I hope his season is about to end. But, man, I mean, just look at the rest. Travis d'Arnaud, golly. As a catcher.
They're a good offense, Chad. They really are.
They are a very good offense. Now, let's look at their pitch. Well, first of all, how does this is where the Cincinnati Reds starting rotation, and we've got Bauer going game one, Castillo game two, right? Am I? And Sonny Gray.
Correct.
And Sonny Gray,
yes.
Game three. So
we're not playing game three, but
oh, thank you very much. Yes, exactly. If necessary,
because they're advancing.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I was talking about Game 3 of the National League Division Series. Wow. It's going to be – I mean, we have this great big three. And, I'm not sure – you pick any two of them. I'm not sure any team has two as good as any of those. Some teams will argue that, and it's arguable. But in terms of a top three, it's fantastic. And that's what my argument has been for a long time, is that if the Reds just sneak into the playoffs, sneak on in, it's going to be a big benefit having those guys, but they've got their work cut out for them big time. And I wouldn't be surprised if one of them succumbed to this Braves offense, as much as I hate to suggest that. They're that good, right?
They are. Now, I'll just go ahead and say this much. If there is any benefit to the way the Reds pitching lines up to the Braves hitting, it's that most of the Braves' good hitters are right-handed.
Yeah.
All of the Reds pitchers are right-handed. You're gonna have to face off against Freddie Freeman, but you know the other two lefties in their lineup, Ender Inciarte, Nick Markakis. I mean, they're not exactly having good years. Ozzie Albies is a switch hitter, but he has been absolutely terrible this year as a left-handed hitter, rocking a .259 slugging percentage with a .250 on base percentage. Now, small sample size, of course, but. I mean, he's not going to go up there and hit right-handed against right-handed pitchers, and he's been really, really bad.
Yeah, you're right.
So that's the one place that I would feel confident, even if you didn't have guys like Trevor Bauer and Luis Castillo and Sonny Gray to run out there. But especially when you've got those guys, if you're going to look for something, that's the advantage I think the Reds have that can kind of counterbalance the very good hitting for the Atlanta Braves.
Oh, I love it. Hash Brown, good vibes only.
That's right.
That's our glass half full analysis there, and it's true, because I mean Freeman's the only solidly above average left handed hitter that you've really got there. Now you know what would have been funny? It would have been hilarious. I mean hilarious if the Reds had announced the starting the way they lined up the rotation. They just announced that it was games one and two were going to be started by Scott Feldman and Dan Straley. Wouldn't that have been great?
I mean, I would have laughed, but I feel like a lot of people would have been very upset about that.
You think
so? Yeah, people tend to get mad online a lot. I'm not sure if you've ever been online before or not,
Chad.
Never
noticed that, no.
They do get a little bit angry when you make funny jokes.
We could maybe have, game three, we could say it's going to be a bullpen day. We'll start with Kevin Quackenbush.
I mean, if they want to, that's fine, because as we just said 3 minutes ago, there's not going to be a game three. So
yes.
So Kevin Quackenbush can go out there and start all he wants.
Oh, good old Kevin Quackenbush. Fear the mighty Quackenbush, if you've heard that story. Okay, so the offense is legit, though, for Atlanta. We have to concede that. They're really good. But now let's talk pitching. And the pitching is less clear for Atlanta. And it's a clear advantage for Cincinnati on overall pitching, I think. First of all, a couple of guys the Braves were depending on, Mike Soroka and... who am I forgetting? Injured out for the season. Cole Hamels.
Yes.
And so they've had a couple of good performers in the short season. Really, though, the only one that's a legit, and I think this guy's just an absolute future star. He's the ace of this team, and, you know, he's going to give Bauer fits in game one. Tell us about the ace of the Atlanta staff.
I mean, I'm going to assume you're talking about Max Fried.
Oh, yeah.
He's 7-0 this season with a 2.25 ERA, mid 11 starts.
Yeah, 26 years old. I mean, he's the real deal, right?
Yeah, I mean, left hander. I mean, he's given up two home runs this season, Chad. I mean, with the way the game is played today, Yeah. And even in, you know, two home runs over 50. I mean, if you just extrapolate that, you put him out there for 200 innings, which would be a great season. That's 8 home runs. He keeps the ball in the ballpark. And, you know, that, it's been a big talking point that the Reds get a lot of their runs off of home runs. Well, he doesn't give up home runs. So that'll be a very interesting matchup between him and the Reds lineup.
Well, and to kind of play off that point, the Braves pitching staff overall have given up fewer runs off a home run than any team in baseball. And, you know, it's sort of it's not really a joke, but it's become a kind of a meme about, oh, they only get score on home runs. But the Reds are like fifth in most runs scored on home runs. So it's not incorrect analysis. And the Braves do not give up home runs. And a lot of that is because of Max Fried. Fried versus Trevor Bauer game one is going to be wild. Man, I wish it weren't at noon.
Can't you just call in sick for work? Does that work?
No? Well, I could, yeah. I guess.
Well, there you go. I mean, I feel like I'm hearing you sniffle already.
No, let's not do that. But that's going to be a big game. But then after that, it's a little bit murkier for the Braves. Their number two game two starter is going to be Ian Anderson, who has had a very, very good season, it must be said, but it's at 1.95 ERA, but only 6 starts, 22-year-old rookie. So a young, really talented guy, but again, only 6 starts, and it's going to be a 22-year-old in the bright lights of almost October. So, well, it will be October by the time he starts. So, he's been good, and he's highly touted, but less sure than Fried, I guess is what I would say. You got any thoughts on Ian Anderson?
I think you summed up what I was going to say. You know, he's been very good, but it's been half of a short season already, and, you know, he's 22. You don't really know how somebody's going to respond until they get out there in that situation, and he's never been there, so.
Well, I hope this is the last time he pitches in 2020. If it came to Game 3 after that, it's really just, Kyle Wright's going to get the start, 24-year-old, who's another highly touted guy, but not had a good season. Been better recently, but still really inconsistent, not a great season. So clear advantage, especially once you get past, and even in Game 1, advantage Reds, but as you get deeper into the starting rotations, the Reds have a huge advantage there, don't they?
They do. I think that, you know, you can Max Fried, Trevor Bauer, you know, you're probably giving a slight edge to Trevor Bauer, but I'd say that you'd be fair in saying that's kind of a coin flip.
Sure.
Starting pitcher situation. I think the one big advantage that Trevor Bauer gives you is he can give you length if you need it. He and Max Fried both started 11 games. But Max Fried threw 17 fewer innings.
Yeah. Yeah. The Braves bullpen is pretty good. And so, once you get into the bullpen, it's not exactly, fun times.
Yeah, I didn't want to bring that up just yet, but you're not wrong.
Well, here's 2 points that I want to make then before we analyze the bullpen a little bit more and look at the series overall. There are 2 things that I believe has to happen. Well, let's go ahead and talk about the bullpen, because one of those relates specifically to the bullpen. Then we'll get into the other one later. The Braves bullpen, Mark Melancon, 42 years old or something now, 52, 72, still going strong. Tyler Matzek, Shane Green, really pretty good trio out there. Not to mention A.J. Minter, who has been unhittable just about in 21 innings. So it's a really good bullpen, and my point was that the Reds really kind of need to score early, especially off an Ian Anderson type, but if they can score early off Max Fried, they're going to be in a lot better shape. That's where they need to get their runs. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I think that kind of plays out, or at least recently, for all playoff series, doesn't it? I mean, I feel like the teams that advance in the playoffs are the teams that have the shutdown bullpens. And, I mean, that's certainly the Atlanta Braves. Or at least they've played that way so far this season. I guess you never know until it happens, but I mean, they've got 5 guys in their bullpen with ERAs under 3.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's a pretty good bullpen.
And it's a perfect example of what, we always say about bullpens, how you don't know from one year to the next. Atlanta's bullpen last year was garbage. I mean, they were really bad. And this year they've been dependable. How are we feeling about the Reds bullpen? I'm feeling a whole lot better than I was before the trade deadline, certainly. I think I'm pretty confident in this group.
Absolutely. I mean, we'll start at the very back. Has Raisel Iglesias had a better season than he's had this year ever?
It's as badly as it started. It's hard to say, but he's been the Raisel Iglesias that we came to know and love for so many years. Just absolutely dependable. And I don't know. We kind of lost faith with Raisel a little bit because he did struggle for a year and a half. But I don't know. He's looked awfully great. I mean, and he's, like you say, he's looked as good or better than he looked when he was at the height of his powers, hasn't he?
He really has. And I mean, I have 100% confidence in him, and he's not the only one. I mean, I'm not sure who technically would qualify as the quote unquote setup man, but I feel like I could name four or five guys right now that I'd be perfectly fine with going, hey, one run game, eighth inning, playoffs, take the ball, get it done. And I'd be fine with that. I mean, they went out and got Archie Bradley.
I love me some Archie Bradley.
Do you have any qualms with putting him out there?
With that beard? No.
Well, okay. If he comes out without the beard, I'm with you. We might have a problem.
Yeah, I'm out on that.
But you know, Amir Garrett, depending on the matchup. I mean, not even depending on the matchup, but I think that's how it'll play out. You know, if they've got lefties coming up, they're going to send Amir out there, right?
And Amir is death to lefties.
I mean, after that, you can go with Lucas Sims, who has been just downright filthy all season long.
Just great. Just fantastic.
And I mean, how about TJ Antone?
What about TJ Antone? That guy has in, you know, 12 months here, created a career for himself. And I'm excited to have him on the Reds pitching staff.
I mean, he really had. I mean, I love how you put that, created a career for himself, because he really did go from a guy who was kind of a, I mean, maybe a number five swingman, long reliever kind of guy, to a guy who,
maybe.
I mean, really, I mean, he's at this point a guy who looks like he could be an eighth or ninth inning guy if given the opportunity. That's a very drastic difference in career earnings, if I do say so myself.
Yes, good for him. Another sweet beard. I like one thing about the Braves bullpen, that, you know, they do have a very good bullpen, but if something goes wrong and you got to go to the bullpen early, I don't mind the Reds' chances, because we have guys like Lucas Sims and TJ Antone that can go along, Anthony DeSclafani that can go along if we need to, and the Reds also have the short guys. I mean, the Reds have a really well-rounded bullpen, I guess is where I'm going with that.
I mean, we didn't even bring up Tyler Malley, who is, I mean, the roster's not out yet, but there's no way they're going to keep Tyler Malley off the roster, right?
Exactly. You're right. I didn't even mention him. And yeah, that's the guy you go to.
I'm fine with Tyler Malley giving the ball too.
Yeah.
He's shown absolutely nothing this year that should suggest that we should have not have any confidence in him, right?
It's kind of the Mike Leake corollary, whereas if Tyler Malley were on the Braves, he'd be getting one of these starts in the playoffs. But with the Reds, you know, he's the number four guy and a really good number four guy.
Yeah, you're thinking, where does he fit in this series? I mean, it's not like you don't have, you know, questions in the bullpen. You can be like, oh, we can just throw Tyler Malley in there. Like, it's a really good bullpen. But the rotation is also just insane.
Yeah, he can't crack that rotation, which is not a criticism of Tyler Malley. But, yeah, it'd be interesting to see where David Bell uses Tyler Malley. You know, because that's a good pitcher who now all of a sudden you can you have this more urgent situation here where, you know, you're not going to go with certain people as long, maybe. Or, you know, maybe he wants to use him in a 7th, 8th inning role, you know, when you need some outs. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see, because he's extremely talented, but, you know, do you put him ahead of one of these other guys? It's a good problem to have. The Reds got the pitching.
That they did.
Okay, so offense, Braves have the advantage. Pitching, Reds, starting pitching, the Reds definitely have the advantage. Overall pitching staff, I think you give the Reds the advantage overall, right? Don't you think?
I would. I you know, we've talked how good the Braves bullpen is, and I'm not really sure it's any better than the Reds bullpen. So, yeah, right. You go Reds because the rotation's better.
And the starters are, yeah, substantially better. So, now the other thing I wanted to say here, and I don't want to put too much pressure on the guys, because I know they're all listening to this podcast, but it seems to me, and I don't want to worry the fans out there either, but game one is as important a game as any game in the last, well, since Buster Posey hit that grand slam.
Oh, God. Why did you bring that up?
I went there, didn't I?
Oh, my heart is hurting.
Game one is the most important. It's one of the, you know, like three most important games in the last 25 years. Maybe the most important. And here's the reason I say that. If the Reds can win game one, if Trevor Bauer can out-duel Max Fried, and the Reds can go up one game to nothing, the Braves are sitting there knowing that they've got Ian Anderson and Kyle Wright going, but also knowing that they have to win two games against Luis Castillo and Sonny Gray. They got to win them both. And that's a tall order for any team, especially when you're counting on a 22-year-old and a 24-year-old in their first playoff appearances. Actually, Wright, he's still technically a rookie this year. Qualifies as a rookie, but he may have pitched in the playoffs last year. I don't know that. But if the Reds can just win that game one, I think this series is over. And, of course, I shouldn't say that because I just referenced that Giants series where the Reds were up. But two games to none. But does it make sense? I mean, if they can win that game, they are in as strong a position as you could possibly be in.
Yeah, I mean, if you're telling me that I only need to win one game and I get to send Sonny Gray and Luis Castillo out there, I feel really good. And I don't care who the matchup is. I feel really good.
Right, yeah, yeah, against any team. That was the, you know, I heard Mo Egger ask the question, and I still don't really know the answer to this. I don't know how I land on it, but he asked the question, well, if you're going into the playoffs, wouldn't you like to go ahead and get the Dodgers? Because it's easier to beat the Dodgers twice than it would be to beat them four times, for example, later. And you know, similarly, if you can win that game one, all the pressure's on the Dodgers, and it'll be that way with the Braves, the number two seed. All the pressure flips to them. And as much as the Reds are playing loose and playing together, they're effing nightmare, according to Joey Votto. I don't know. I think that this series is over if they can win that first game. I'm tempting fate by saying that. Everybody's going to yell at me. I know. I'm sorry. Feel free to yell at me on the Twitters. But I don't know. Just it seems like if they can win that one, it's just huge. What do you think about that idea about the Dodgers, by the way, if they'd gotten the Dodgers?
I can see it both ways. I think that the one argument against that would be that in the first round, they still get to play at home. So you don't have the fan home field advantage, but you get the comfort level of being at home in the home field advantage. You get to sleep in your own bed with your own family. And, I mean, especially in the first round when, I mean, I don't know if you heard this or not, Chad, but the home team can have their family in the stadium.
Oh, really? No, I hadn't heard that.
The road team cannot.
Well, that's a tiny home field advantage, I guess.
Yeah. So if you're gonna make the argument, you know, the comfort level of being the home team does play into that a little bit. Now, I'm not a professional athlete. I'm not going to pretend to be. But I have to imagine that it does make a little bit of a difference to be able to sleep in your own bed and be in your own clubhouse and everything that you're a little bit more familiar with. Especially when you're going into a high-pressure situation like you feel like it would be for the playoffs.
Yeah, no, I mean, again, you don't know how much of an advantage, but there's something there. Now, let me ask you this question. I think, on that question, I think I go with, I probably want to not have the Dodgers to start out with because I would rather... You know,
you'd rather somebody else beat the Dodgers so you could beat that team?
Well, for real, I'd rather hope somebody else knocks them off, and at least you got a chance of that. Now, but the corollary there is that I was thinking about this, sort of thinking out loud on the Twitters last night, and I look at the top four seeds in this. I guess you could look at the top six as well, since the Rays are seventh. But look at those top four. I think the Braves are the team, if I could pick one, not that the Braves aren't good, because they're very good, but I think if I could hand pick an opponent for the Reds in the first round, I probably would have picked the Braves. Where would you have gone?
Maybe the Braves. I haven't seen what has transpired with the Padres ace who got injured over the weekend and whether he's actually going to be able to pitch or not. If he's not... then maybe the Padres, because while they've got a really good offense, so do the Braves. So if their ace is out for the playoffs, maybe them, just because Max Fried does provide at least a little bit of wiggle room for the Braves there that maybe the Padres couldn't quite match up with.
Yeah. I mean, I see that. But I guess my point is, this is not the worst, considering how awful the Reds played for almost all of this season. And so they had to kind of struggle across the line. It could have been a lot worse, frankly. I feel like the Reds match up well with the Braves. I think our strengths and their strengths, I really feel like the Reds match up well. Am I looking at that through, rose-colored glasses, or because I want the Reds to match up better, or is that a real thing?
Maybe both. I mean, if I'm going to be honest, I feel like the Reds match up fairly well with anybody because of the starting pitching they have.
Yeah, maybe I'd say that with any opponent. Good point.
I mean, the offense has its issues. I'm not going to try and sugarcoat it. But from a pure talent level, on any given day, you can look at that Red lineup and go, yeah, that's a good lineup. They haven't performed that way so far this year. I mean, and even in their little run they've been on, Tom wrote about it today at Red League Nation. They played a little bit better, but they haven't really still played up to their potential, and that really wasn't what turned them around. The pitching just pitched a lot better down the stretch, and so they didn't need to score as many runs. But, I mean, it's not like the Reds' offense is without talent. They just haven't put it all together at the same time.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely true. You know, I look at this Reds' offense, and they did play a little better down the stretch, obviously. The runs per game went up, but you're right. The fact of the matter is, Luis Castillo, Trevor Bauer, Sonny Gray, Tyler Mahle really kind of dragged this team to the playoffs on their backs. They kept the team from falling too far out of the race when the offense was hitting awful. And then when the offense started hitting a little bit better, they put it into overdrive down the stretch. And so those four guys right there, and I would include Tyler Mahle with what we call the big three, those are your MVPs this year, because without those four guys doing what they've done, this Reds team is long gone. I mean, they're 12th place or something. I mean, there's no chance of recovering. So everyone wants to talk about, Votto hit well there for a stretch, and Moustakas has been great, for the last little bit. Whatever, Suarez has hit a little bit better. But if it's not for those four, Akiyama's been better. We're not even talking playoffs. Playoffs? I don't think we can overestimate how much. And I saw Tom's piece. It's a really good piece at Red League Nation that you should all go read. Without those pitchers, I don't know. It's that kind of worries me a little bit, though. Because what if the Reds have a little bit of a... Here's me being, I know it's good vibes only. Never mind. But what if the Reds' offense... They've got to score some runs. They've got to give at least a few runs. Are we concerned about the offense going into the playoffs?
I think you have to be a little bit, right?
Hash brown, good vibes only.
I mean, I'm gonna break the rule because
it's true. You have to be.
Our buddy Bobby Nightingale tweeted this out 40 minutes ago. The magic number for the Reds' offense is 3. They have a 30-11 record when scoring at least 3 runs this season. They're 1-18 when they don't score 3 runs.
Boy, that's a testament to how good the pitching's been, isn't it? Just
yeah,
3 runs.
I mean, 19 out of 60 games. That's 33% of their. Well, it's a little bit less than 33%. They didn't score 3 runs. I think that you have to be a little bit concerned about the offense. Now, the Reds team that they're going into the playoffs with is a lot different than the team they had in the first month of the season. Guys like Philip Irvin,
Matt
Josh
Davidson.
Van Meter, Matt Davidson, Travis Jankowski. Those guys aren't on the team. I mean, I guess Jankowski could still technically be on the team because he is in the player pool, and so is Davidson. They're not expected
right.
to be.
Davidson and Irvin started on opening day.
Yeah.
So
they won on opening day, so maybe we can get Irvin back just
minute,
game
yeah.
one and see what happens. No, it doesn't work.
I'm not sure that's how it works, but you're right. I mean, we got a healthy Moustakas now. Akiyama has acclimated himself to American baseball very, very nicely. And it is a different team. Sinzel's healthy, although I think it's been a rough year for Nick Sinzel, but I think the offense is in the best shape they've been health-wise all season long, and you got a bunch of guys that are starting to really hit well. I would not be surprised. I was going to ask you who you think is going to be the guy that's going to be sort of, we talk about Eric Davis's big 1990 home run in game one and how that got, the Reds are going to have somebody that's going to set the tone early. And I've been ready to drop a prediction about Nick Castellanos, because I wrote a glowing piece about Castellanos at Cincinnati Magazine earlier this year, and he proceeded to go off the deep end. I mean, just did not hit well almost immediately after that column that I wrote. But I feel like he's going to have a big series. I feel like he's going to be the guy the team's going to kind of rally around, because when he's playing well, he's kind of exuberant, and he's a, I don't know. That's my opinion. Is there a guy that you think is going to be a breakout guy during this series?
I mean, I hate to call Joey Votto a breakout guy, but I'm just feeling it with Joey Votto. I think that, one, he's locked in right now with his approach, his mechanics. Two, I think that he also kind of understands that, you know, Father Time is undefeated, even though he has seemed to kind of figure it out a little bit more lately. And he knows that, you know, this might be the last good chance he's got to make an impact in the playoffs.
Yeah, you could see him hitting a first inning home run or something, and the team kind of rallying around the elder statesman and trying to get him across the finish line. I could see that. I hope to see that. Yeah. I'd love it.
Yeah. So I'm picking Votto. We'll see. But you know what's fun though, Chad, is if I would have said Jesse Winker or Mike Moustakas, you pick Nick Castellanos. I mean, those are four guys that I feel comfortable saying could definitely be that guy that just. I didn't even mention Eugenio Suarez. I mean, right. Again, like I said 5 minutes ago, there is talent on this offense. They just got to put it together at the right, or all at the same time.
They really haven't scratched the surface of what this offense could be this year, and it does. It concerns me that they won't, that they'll continue to struggle a little bit, and it'll be too late.
Yeah, I mean, it could just be two games. I mean, I don't want it to be two games, but, even the best teams in baseball lose 60 games a year. They're going to have two-game losing streaks every so often.
Yeah. This one, I'm comfortable with the pitching, and one of those pitchers may end up having a bad outing, but this series is going to live and die by the offense. I mean, pull up if you go to Baseball Reference and pull up a couple tabs, the Braves and the Reds, and just flip back and forth, look at their offenses side by side, and it's ugly. But then
don't do it.
Yeah, don't do it. It'll make your eyes hurt. But you look at this Reds offense, and we keep saying it, and at some point, I guess you are what your numbers say you are. But I don't think that's true with this team. You look at Joey Votto, Mike Moustakas, Eugenio Suarez, Shogo Akiyama, Nick Senzel, Nick Castellanos, Jesse Winker. Brian Goodwin. Well, he has a good beard. It's not a bad offense, but it's time to perform, because if you don't, we're going home, and then it's going to be a really not a fun episode of the podcast we have to record after that. So, prediction time, Doug.
I am going to tell Fangraphs how wrong they are.
What did Fangraphs say? Tell our listeners. Our viewers.
Now, this is an algorithm. This isn't actually someone's opinion. So you can get mad at Fangraphs. You can go yell at Dan Szymborski, because I'm pretty sure he wrote the algorithm for it. But they have the Braves at a 63% chance of winning the series. And they're wrong, because the Reds are going to win in two.
You know, they are wrong. I mean, I'll say that. The math is wrong. Math is always wrong, which is why I decided to go to law school.
Makes sense.
I tell my students all the time, if you want, absolutely correct answers, you should have gone to math school, not law school. But I think it's going to be Reds in three. I think we're going to get Sonny Gray with a huge performance in that game three, and the Reds are going to win game three like 10-1 or something. It's going to be like that Braves Cardinals wild card game where, I hate to say it, never mind. I'm not going to go there. You can look it up if you want to. But the Reds are going to jump on the Braves early and win going away. But I feel like this is a good matchup for the Reds. I feel like they're going to win. So Doug's predicting a sweep. I'm predicting a near sweep. I guess we'll be back to talk about it. And maybe even we'll come back. And I guess if the Reds win this series, Doug, you and I are going to have to preview every series from here on out, right?
I'm in.
All right, I'm in for it as well. All right, any final thoughts about the fact that the Reds are back in the playoffs?
I mean, I'm just I'm excited, Chad. I'm ready for this. And, I mean, as you said, I've watched a lot of really bad baseball. I really hope that doesn't continue.
Yes, listen, you each need to be extremely excited about this. I don't care that they're the seventh seed. I don't care that they played awful for most of the season. We don't get games that mean things, that mean something very often as Cincinnati sports fans. And so enjoy it. Cherish it. You have a team that, honestly, a lot of fun individuals to cheer for, and I'm excited to see what they do. All right, for Doug Gray and Reggie Sanders, we're going to exercise the demons of 1995. This is Chad Dotson saying, good vibes only.
Thanks for listening to Red Leg Nation Radio from RedLegNation.com. Subscribe to Red Leg Nation Radio on iTunes or through your favorite podcast app. And join us for discussion of all things Reds at RedLegNation.com. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.